dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Gracious hello, ladies and gentlemen of SVC Sports. This is Bruce Knox, along with the two aforementioned hosts we'll get to in just a second, bringing you episode 216 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. Again, of course, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They are found at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You'll find all kinds of good things to do, all kinds of good things to eat, and you can give them a call at 740-773-7529. Look them up on the web also for all kinds of detailed information at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Well, I'd like to introduce the other two gentlemen. First, Mr. Webb, Derek Webb, Chillicothe Gazette. How are you today?
Good, Bruce. We're ready for a week. Maybe we can get a full week in this. I'm crossing our fingers of action this coming week. So
that
we'll
would
see.
Really be great, wouldn't it? But again, absolutely. As we tape on Sunday nights, the mention of that four-letter word, I think, is there for this evening and potentially on Monday night as well. That being snow, but we hope we can still get some games in. And Shane, you mentioned earlier before we started taping that you actually got, five games in, I believe, this week or something similar to that, maybe four.
I played four, yeah, Monday and Friday, and then had doubleheader Saturday. And you know what, real quick on the opening here, Bruce, if you're okay with it, I wanted to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Ron Allen, win number 400 this week. Just remarkable. Several coaches throughout the league. We're really, really close in terms of, obviously, you know, we compete hard against each other and want to beat each other, but the amount of respect and friendship means a lot to me throughout the league with a lot of coaches, and Ron certainly right up there on that list. And 400 wins. I have a hard time thinking about just getting the 400 games coached,
right?
And alone winning them. So yeah, hats off to Ron over there and the job he's done at Zane Trace. I think all but about 50 of those have come there at Zane Trace. And he just does an amazing job. So I wanted to start the show with that. Well-earned congrats to him.
Appreciate that, and congratulations to Ron. How many years do you think that makes up for him?
I'm not sure. He started down in the Portsmouth area, I want to say Clay. He's been at Zane Trace probably since about 2000,
okay.
I believe. So. And it's just – it's remarkable how – you know, you can really see his handprints all over the program, because just the way the kids approach hitting and go about playing the game hard-nosed and they play it the right way. And it's just what he's been able to establish there in that program over the years is phenomenal. But I want to say right around 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, I think, is when he got to Zane Trace, and has been there since.
In this day and age, that's a long time. It really is. Congratulations,
is.
Coach Allen. And, gentlemen, we already kind of mentioned it, but I want to give us a little time to talk here. And, Derek, you can chime in as well. But weather continues to be a factor. And a question that's kind of cropped up here that we want to discuss a little bit is, do you think really baseball or softball should have a cut-off temperature in which, you know, when it reaches that level, you cancel games? And Derek, any from a fan, from a press standpoint, what's too cold for you to go out and watch games?
Well, Wednesday night when I went out to Huntington to see Huntington and Uniota softball, I think I had three shirts on, a hoodie over those three shirts, so four. Mm-hmm. A blanket wrapped around me, which is the first time in my career I've ever had a blanket wrapped around me while covering anything. Mm-hmm. It was the wind was, I mean, it was blustery. It was probably every bit of 30 degrees. And at one point it started to snow onto the field. So, you know, when it gets under 40, I mean, for me, just being a fan and being out there covering a game, you know, it gets real uncomfortable after that. I can take 40. I can kind of, hide in the dugout, brace for the wind or something. But when I'm out in the stands or You know, just watching the game, and that wind just hit your face. I mean, it took me about an hour just to warm up and feel everything, feel my fingers and my toes again. So mm-hmm. I'd say anything for me under 40, it kind of starts getting on the borderline.
Shane, from a coaching perspective, what do you think? Should baseball and softball have a cutoff temperature?
Well, first of all, I tell you, on that Wednesday night he's talking about, I was over at Uniota scouting, Uniota Huntington. And about two innings in, I text Coach Evans over to Southeastern and said, I just wanted to personally thank you for canceling our game tonight, because this is by far the coldest I've ever been in 20 years at a high school baseball game. But no, what's so tricky about this, guys, is, you know, some nights you'll get 41, 42. Well, in that particular night, that's about what the temperature got to, 40, 41, but the wind chills were down around 29, 30. The wind was gusting up 20, 25 miles per hour, where other nights, I know we were really worried about it in our nightcap at the VA Saturday night, and because we were 5:30, 7:30 doubleheader with Peebles, and I know the temperature got down to about 34, 35 there, but it wasn't nearly as cold because it wasn't as much wind. That ballpark's a little bit different, the way it can block things off with the stadium feel and so forth. So I don't know if there's a perfect science to it. You know, there's been two, three times in my career we've played a game as a coach, and I look back at the end and thought, well, maybe we shouldn't have. But there's been plenty of times where we've canceled a game, and then we're sitting around practicing at 5 o'clock saying, we probably jumped the gun on a little bit. It's not that bad. We should have probably gotten it in. So, you know, I don't know what the perfect number is. I think you just have to work hard to try to get the games in, always putting safety out there first. Obviously that night, hats off to the Uten kid at Uniota and Beeler of Huntington. It had to be a really tough night to pitch. You know, obviously they got the game in, and the kids are going to like live to tell about it. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it was unplayable, but it certainly was cold. So I don't know what the number is. I think you just have to use good judgment across the board and try to make a decision day by day.
Yeah, that's tough when you want to, you know, make a hard and fast rule, and then you kind of regret having done that. Let me ask you guys two questions. One is, you know, from a safety standpoint, don't injuries come a little bit more frequent when it's that cold? I mean, and again, I don't know what that cold is, but when it's cold outside, you know, muscle strains occur quicker or easily. Are there other, you know, concerns that you have, Shane, from a coaching standpoint? I mean, how can you get warmed up when it's that cold?
Well, it can be. And again, I think it goes back to, you know, coaches. We're obviously in this to help develop kids and to help develop our programs and so forth. I know on that particular night, both coaches probably pulled their starting pitchers a little earlier than they normally would have. I know the other night we had one of our really good arms, young arms, throwing in that nightcap, and I kind of cut him off almost at half his pitch count. It's just one of those things that you're aware of that. You try to teach kids how to really loosen properly and take a little extra time on those nights and to do the necessary things in between innings. But and then you obviously have to be aware of that as the night goes on, that you may not be able to push them as far.
Yeah, and what about equipment problems? I know now with some of the synthetic bats, we hear that kind of a problem. Is that an issue for you guys?
Can be. Yeah, sure. All those things are factors. And like I said, I don't know that you ever master it all, but yes, all those things you're talking about are certainly factors.
Okay. Well, now that we've established that weather is a factor, are we going to kind of be concerned perhaps about weather moving forward here? How might it impact spring sports over the next few weeks?
Well, I'll comment on baseball and then see if Derek looks at track, softball, or even a baseball comment, you know, a little differently. I'm always looking at it from a coach's perspective. And, you know, obviously the biggest thing it does is, you know, we're going to enter a week where it does look like we're going to be dry. I don't know that we're going to be warm, but we're going to be dry. And
somebody better knock on wood.
Yeah.
we're going to play if possible. We're going to play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday in the league. So, you know, that becomes a little difficult because in some cases we're going to be playing on Tuesday night where future opponents are not. And that becomes very tricky because what happens is early in the year when some teams play and some teams don't, and then makeup games get going, games get pushed ahead. So I certainly think it can impact things in the upcoming week here for baseball in terms of pitching because, you know, right now most teams have probably been able to comfortably throw guys out there on rest or even extra rest, where now this is probably going to be the first time this spring where baseball pitching staffs are going to really, really get pushed. They're going to really get tested. So that might be something to take a look at in the upcoming week.
Okay. Derek, any thoughts about how it might impact softball perhaps or maybe even track?
Well, I mean, for softball, it's a little bit different. Shane,
sure.
With baseball was exactly what I was going to say. You know, you kind of get into a pitching situation where, well, who am I going to throw? I mean, and really, if you look at it, I mean, it can affect the league race. I mean, it can have title implications at the end of the year. I mean, say you drop one on Tuesday and you throw your ace on Wednesday, but you could have thrown him Tuesday. I mean, you know, so they have that long-term effect. Softball is a little bit different where it's, I mean, you're usually going to see the same pitcher Monday, Tuesday, you know, Wednesday and Friday if you had that same schedule. So, I mean, you know, I think the cold, you know, might affect, you know, the bats, but in a pitching sense, you know, softball, you just kind of go out there and play like they did Wednesday night. You know, in a track sense, though, it's really hard to kind of get into, you know, mid-season form, if you would, and in the cold temperatures, you know, it's hard to you know, burst off of, you know, your run when you're doing the long jump or a high jump sense. I mean, pole vault would be the same way. You know, there was a couple of meets this past week that they had the meet, they just didn't run certain events because of the cold. So you're taking away not only practice time, but you're also taking away competition, you know, as well. So I think it would affect track more than it would softball. But I think Shane, you know, he hits the nail on the head when he says, you know, it affects baseball in a pitching sense more than anything.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, let's hope and pray that the weather cooperates beginning now for the rest of the spring season. It would be good for us. Well, we're going to move along to our new spring segment. We featured this last week in our episodes 214 and 215, the preview shows. It's what we call our new spring segment. We went all out on the name and the marketing department for that. It's brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call at 740-986-4653. And they are located up at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport, just outside. And this whole segment is kind of talking about what makes spring so unique. And this week, the topic in this area is seniors. And how can this be different for our spring sports? Shane, I'm going to kind of let you take this and go with it.
Yeah, this is something that comes up, you know, around the springtime every year, and I'll hear different fans say different things, and coaches will talk about different things, and I think everybody across high school sports would talk about the value of being a little bit older, juniors and seniors, and it starts with football, with bigger, faster, stronger, and you'll hear coaches really in every sport talk about experience and so forth, and. You know, I think as you get into spring, that's still true. I think where the topic comes from is a lot of times you get these seniors and you know, the calendar starts to turn April and it's getting closer to May and they're starting to count it down as they're into the fourth 9 weeks. A lot of their requirements are pretty much done and they're just putting in their final days. And, you know, you still have to try to keep them in rhythm, keep them in structure, keep them following the attendance rules and the academic rules and so forth. And it can get a little tricky. I mean, the senioritis sets in. All of us remember back to our senior year and it happens. I think that's where this comes from, where people say this is unique in the spring, where it's not something that a football coach or a volleyball or a you know, either basketball or so forth. But I think in the spring, I hear track coaches talk about it, and I hear baseball, softball coaches talk about it. I've witnessed it a little bit. You know, not that kids will stop working hard. That's not it at all. It's just more of human nature. It's where, you know, they start to have a lot on their plate. And I just try to really talk to kids about it. I try to make them really aware of it. And, you know, most of the kids I deal with, though, Bruce, I'll tell you, are pretty invested into their senior year of baseball. That's why they want to be in it. Or, you know, if they're in track, they have goals still out there in front of them, or so forth. So, yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit of truth to this in terms of how it's unique to spring. And it's something that I've tried to be aware of just to make myself a better spring coach. But at the end of the day, I'll still take a bunch of 17 and 18 year old arms out there throwing the ball across the diamond and ranging and so forth, compared to trying to compete in this league with 14 and 15 year olds, for sure.
Yeah. Derek, you probably never had senioritis, did you?
Never. not at all. You know, honestly, when I was a senior playing baseball, I savored, you know, every game, because for me, it was kind of like a countdown. Mm-hmm. You know, as to, I had 24 games to start the season. Now I've only got 19 left. Now I've only got 12 left. So that was kind of my outlook going through the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if that made me play harder, or that made me play more cautious, or, you know, kind of taking in the scenes a little bit. But, you know, I guess that's how I remember, attacking that season. And hopefully, you know, our athletes in the area do the same.
Yeah.
Derek, did it? Do you remember anything, though, in terms of, you know, the old school senior skip days, or the different things you were doing, or so forth? Do you remember baseball kind of serving as a way to make you a little bit more focused than some of your senior classmates at the time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, in high school, I was an ornery kid. I mean, I was, you know, I played for Marty Dunn at Chillicothe, and there were several times, you know, Marty had to pull me into he taught chemistry at Chillicothe, and he had a room in between two rooms. And yeah. So he would pull me into that middle room, you know, and nobody could hear, you know, what he was saying to me. And of course, Marty was always, you know, a great guy, an outstanding character. But, you know, he would tell me, like, look, you got to straighten up, because if you don't, you know, you're not going to see the field for me. Wow. And, you know, as soon as he said that, yes. I went back to class and I kept my mouth shut.
The truth comes out, Bruce.
The truth comes out. Yeah. That's right.
Who would have thought?
But I mean, who would have thought that? Exactly. Yeah. But you know what? To Shane's question, as soon as Marty said, you know, if you don't start acting right, you're not going to see the field.
Wow.
I said, yes, sir. And I went back to class, and I was a completely different kid, because I wanted to be out on the field more than anything.
Right.
So that changed you for 15 minutes then.
Well, about 6 weeks.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, interesting. As we all know, at least Derek can remember when he played. So, you know, that's he's got that going for it compared to us. Anyway, we're going to move along then to a look at our fan questioning, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Print, now located at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. Their phone number there is 740-774-3306. You can look them up on Facebook, and you can find all kinds of neat information about them. There's even a video there on Mile Tree about their shop location that they've got, and they give you the grand tour on that. So we suggest, maybe if you're interested in what they're doing and so forth, you might want to take a look at that. And in that, you'll even meet their shop manager, whose name is Willie Nelson. That's all I'll say, but it's pretty interesting. So you got to check that out, and tell them again that the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Well, in our inbox, these were the main thoughts, kind of the gelled down version of what was provided to us in a couple emails. First one being your thoughts on baseball playing back-to-back days. Let's go to the coach on this one first, Derek, and let him give us his thoughts.
Well, we've talked about this in some years past, and when they're referencing some other conferences, they're not only talking about playing back-to-back days, I believe they're even talking about playing the same opponent back-to-back days. So, like, what they do is, you know, say Wheelersburg and Memphis would play Monday night and Tuesday night. So, if I'm following the email correctly, they're referring to making sure that you get that different pitching matchup, if that makes sense. So, you know, if one night you ended up seeing the one pitcher, the next night you'll definitely see some other pitching. And it's just kind of people who are in favor of this kind of like it, because it kind of tests the full team, so to speak, the full roster, in terms of challenging the whole pitching staff. It's not a bad idea. I think the SVC does it pretty well. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, pretty good structure there. I think we could probably work together to be a little bit more creative in our rescheduling, to where it just didn't completely butcher our non-league schedule. Overall, I think the league does it pretty well. Obviously, this wouldn't really even impact softball, other than you would see the same pitcher maybe back-to-back night. Maybe on the second night, maybe the offense would have a little bit more advantage. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I think Derek would agree, as a baseball guy, that a baseball-softball pitcher probably has the advantage the first night, the second night. You know, time you get into that at bat number 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Advantage maybe goes over to the offense a little bit, but you know, certainly not a bad idea. I respect the conferences who decide to go that way, but overall in the SVC, I think our scheduling structure is pretty good.
Shane, when they do that, do they do it home and away type of thing, or is it just at the same location?
Yeah, it would be. To my knowledge, the conferences, and I would love to hear. I know we have some people from the SOC that listen to the show regularly. Mm-hmm. I know they have shared some ideas with us in the past. Maybe they can refresh my memory if they're listening again this spring. I believe they do it back to back nights, or at least within a 3-night period where you are playing the same team. Maybe it's even in a 3-night period where the pitching would certainly have to be different on the baseball side.
Okay. All right. The next topic that was brought about, and I'm going to let Derek kind of talk about this one first from his standpoint, and that is playing on Sunday afternoon. What do you think of it, Derek?
Is it in a reschedule sense, or is this a regularly scheduled game?
Well, I know the one email, Derek was talking about how, basketball plays with, down at the Convo on a Sunday, mm-hmm. or they use that, or obviously junior high and more little leagues are going to Sunday. Would it not help baseball softball when they already have such a small window to get the games in?
Oh, I think it would definitely help the baseball and softball with spring and Mother Nature not wanting to cooperate a lot of the times. I read an article this past week. In the article, I think the title was, the OHSA baseball season is in critical condition. Yep, yep. I don't know if you guys saw that article. It's a great article and it makes a lot of good points. And maybe playing on Sunday afternoons would, try to negate some of the points that article made. Every day that you can get in baseball in a 6-week period is valuable at this point. Shana, you know that just from how many times you guys have had to cancel. And if you look at your schedule, you guys are what, 6-1 now? I think so.
8-2 now.
So you're 8-2. I mean, look at that. So you've played 10 games while Zane Trace's softball team has played three or four. I mean, that's kind of the difference. I mean, say Zane Trace can pick up a doubleheader on a Sunday afternoon. More reps, practice makes perfect, whatever, however you want to say it. I'm not opposed to the idea, but I do think that you would have your opposition from some of those families that do go to church, kind of reserve that day as a family day. Having said that, if you commit to play a sport at the beginning of the season and that's on the schedule, that's you committed it, and you got to be there. So, I'm not against it per se. I think it would bring some opposition, in my opinion, I would be totally okay with that.
Shane, any thoughts from you on that?
Well, I think it's twofold for me. One is if the guidelines were set and you had to do that or whatever, you would adjust and know that it's your job and that you have to do it. Just to answer with my opinion, I would be 100% against it. Okay. I look at it as I've grown up in church all my life, but just I look at it as a situation where, my wife basically. We spent about 4 hours together today. And I think that's the first time this week we've spent like a consecutive hour together. So it's just from a family standpoint. I understand our culture has kind of accepted Little League. A lot of that's because of the culture of our Little League, thinking, we need individual teams third grade through eighth grade. And, we've been on that soapbox before. But I know after church and after dinner today and after doing a couple things, you know, came home, I ran out to Paint Valley and caught the last three innings of junior high, just trying to support them and then help work on the field a little bit and so forth. But, you know, it's hard. I mean, I know I have some people on my staff that also have junior high kids in the program, and they do not get a day off. Mm-hmm. They basically go about 6 days or 6 weeks in a row of about 7 day weeks. So it's tough. So if that's what it was, then you would do it because you love what you do. But if someone's just asking my opinion, I think we've been getting a lot of baseball games in using 6 days a week for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And I think you just have to work hard on your field. You have to get creative in scheduling and rescheduling, and it can be done.
All right. Well, our third topic and our last one here on the inbox, more thoughts on softball pitching rule. I don't know exactly what they intended in this email, Shane. You might have some more insight on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the ongoing discussion of, you know, would it benefit the game? I think some people are really on the side of the competitive balance, Derek, where some of your softball purists, some of the people that really study this, they talk about how if you're really going to be good at it, you got to go and you got to get coaching, and it takes some travel, and it takes some extra money on the side, and all these different things. And I thought what was so fascinating about that is, you know, if it became the rule, I think you'd see more and more programs build up. I think, you know, right now, that's the point I think people are making, is would people be willing to commit more time? You know, right now you don't have to commit more time if you have one or two of them kind of growing up. You know, growing up, if you have one or two spread out by a class or two, that's the point I was making last week. I think there's a lot of girls in my junior high classes that kind of shy away from softball, where, you know, they grow up pitching and, well, there's this girl that catches or this girl that pitches or whatever. I just find that interesting as a baseball coach to hear the difference. So I certainly respect how much time the elite kids that pitch have put into it and the commitment their family has made. But I think that's the point that the other side of the argument is making. Boy, wouldn't that help the sport grow? I understand what people are saying, that the product could go downhill in the early going, but it's kind of like with the pitch count and the different things that are going on. It could hurt the product sometimes when you get into these non-league games, or when you start playing five games in five nights, or the back end of the doubleheader can be the brutal, you know, 21-18 game. But I think what's happening down in the junior high, I'm like I said, at the junior high game today, I'm seeing from two different schools, I'm seeing about 8, 9, 10 different arms go out there and throw the ball over the plate. So it's growing the game, where I think in softball, I think the early impact could really hurt it. But I think long term, it would completely revamp the game for the good. You know, like I said last week, I don't know that I'm the one to ask on that. It's certainly intriguing, though, from a fan's perspective, just to see the different makeup of a roster.
Yeah. Derek, any thoughts on softball pitching rule from your end that we haven't talked about?
Well, no, you know, I think Shane pretty much hit, you know, kind of dead on there. I mean, you know, I think the one thing I would add is, you know, if you look at the history of softball, and in the recent years at least, you've got Westfall and Unioto that are usually on top. You've got when Elaine Lotto was at Huntington, when Morgan Gino was at St. Trace, you know, those teams would compete as well, but they had a pitcher. Think about if every team had two pitchers that could go out and throw. I think you're going to see, Shane even said it, you are going to see the product maybe for a time go a little bit down. But once you develop those couple pitchers in the future, you're going to see the product be even better than it ever was.
But now, Derek, on the side, let's talk about the other side for a second. When you go out, and let's just, off top of my head, let's just say Piketon, Huntington. You know, if you're going to go out and watch a softball game, I assume that you drive all the way down to Piketon, and you just assume watch Kello and Alexander pitch, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So I do see both sides of it. Sure.
All right. Well, let's take a kind of early look here at the standings a couple weeks into the season here. First, for baseball, we've got Unioto and Zane Trace in front. Your thoughts, Derek, on that situation?
Well, you know, I think you're going to see those two teams stay at the top, but I'm not saying either one of them are going to win the league. I mean, that's what's so intriguing about baseball. You know, Paint Valley, you know, loses to, Shane, who'd you lose to this past week?
Lost to Unioto.
Two to one.
Really good.
2-1, exactly. So it's a pitcher's duel, and I mean that game goes either way. when you throw a Cruz McFadden on the mound. I mean, I think Paint Valley can beat a Zane Trace on a good night. I think, you know, Unyoda can beat, obviously, Paint Valley on a good night. I also think, you know, any of those top three, and you throw in Adina, if you throw in Piketon when Volgamore's pitching well, Westfall when Nunnemaker's pitching well, I mean, that's what's so good about baseball in our area is legitimately anybody can get beat on any night. It just depends on, you know, how your bats are going against an ace, how your ace is you're throwing against an opposing lineup. Unyoda and Zane Trace is up front. They'll play Friday night this week, we'll have a sole possession of first place if both of them continue to win Monday and Wednesday. But I don't think that's something that's going to be concrete. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work to do. Tony Taylor said it best after their win over Adina last Monday. He said, hey, this is one. Yeah, we're in Frankfurt. We got a big win, but this is just one. Shane, I think you'd agree with this. Baseball is the hardest sport to win a gold ball in because you just never know. I mean, anything can happen. And I'm not saying anything can't happen in football or basketball, but baseball, everything has to align perfectly to win 14 straight against a division. Westfall's 0-3 right now. Does that mean they can't beat Unyoda when they play their first go around? Absolutely, it does not. I mean, Westfall would have just as good of a shot as anybody, and that's what makes it so intriguing to cover the league and just cover high school baseball in general. So, yeah, I mean, Unyoda Zane Trace right now out in front, but I think it's way too early to pick a winner.
Shane, your thoughts on the top of the league right now, Unyoda and Zane Trace?
Well, I think Tony did say it best. It truly is a one game grind at a time because, you know, first of all, as Derek says, baseball is a sport that by nature just allows itself to have a little bit more parity. But then I know I'm biased, and I know volleyball people out there have something to say. I know softball have something to say. But you know, SVC baseball is by far, it's not even close. It's by far top to bottom the deepest, most competitive sport we have in our conference, and it's tough. You don't almost pay attention to who's pitching and what matchup. You just know, oh, I have an SVC game tomorrow night. This kid's pitching. I have another one on Tuesday. This kid's pitching because there is no throw off. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, you know, we went on the road the other night to Unyoda and played a 2-1 game where, you know, a borderline 3-2 pitch, a ball in the gap, and then an incredible slide. And that was the difference in the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? You had the SVC player of the year from Patterson on the one side throwing, and we had the McFadden kid, and they both were throwing back and forth at each other, basically. Both had 10 Ks, I think. Incredible game. And we were on the short end of it. And, you know, you'll come back and you'll play another one. But almost all of these SVC games that are coming in, you look at the box score, games are getting into the fifth and sixth inning and it's a coin flip. So you settle in and you know that nothing's going to come easy. You know that if you show up and play bad, you're going to lose. And if you play good, you might win. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the difficulty of it.
Okay.
That's what makes it fun, though.
What about in softball where we find Westfall and Piketon out in front? Your thoughts, and we'll go to Shane on this one first.
Well, again, and this is where I always love the softball feedback I get because I don't get to watch it with my own eyes. I really study it and analyze it, obviously, through the stat sheets and through the box scores and through the conversations. But I do think softball allows itself to start to play out a little bit more because of the pitching situation. You can start to predict that, you know, if so-and-so's on the mound and they're not injured and they're on their game at all, there's X amount of teams in the league that just can't beat them. And that's just realistic in my mind based on the last 10, 11, 12 years I've studied this here on the website. You start to look at some of the pitchers in the top half of the league, the way Westfall, Piketon, Huntington, Unyoda start to separate from Adina, Southeastern, Paint Valley, Zane Trace. Now, if you listen to the softball preview show, and if you haven't, I encourage you to go back and listen to both shows. I talked about how improved I thought Adina was and how Adina could really start to do some things. I was very impressed with how they scored, I believe it was 5 runs, Derek, against Unyoda, and putting some runs up. And, you know, Southeastern's been pretty competitive in some games. And I know Paint Valley, obviously, we talked about life after Newland, but they're really, really good at the catcher position with McFadden. And I know Smith is stepping into a role there that's tough to fill. But, you know, I just feel like there is a top half, bottom half there in softball that's just a little bit different. And that's what I'll be starting to look at, Bruce. Your head-to-head matchups in softball become very, very crucial because you may not get the help, you know, throughout the year in terms of competing for a league championship.
Okay. Anything, your thoughts, Derek?
Well, I think Shane says it right. I mean, right now for me, I mean, when looking at the league, you've got a top three in Westfall, Piketon, and Huntington. You got two in the middle with Uniota and Dean, and you got a bottom three in Southeastern Paint Valley and Zane Trace. You know, I think that with Westfall and Piketon, I think both of those teams are going to stay at the top. And I think Huntington, I mean, they proved that this past week beating Uniota and then just losing 5-3 to Westfall. You know, I think those top three are going to be pretty cement there cemented there at the top. You know, while Southeastern Paint Valley, Zane Trace, I think they're a little bit younger. They're not as fortunate or blessed in the circle. And you know, Uniota and Adina, they have pitchers, but they're kind of like Jekyll and Hyde, where, you know, one night they'll play well, the next night it's just like, well, wait, where was that team from, you know, Monday? Or whatever it may be. So yeah, I mean, I think Shane, you know, says it right with the pitching situation on the top three, and you'd even throw Uniota and Adina in there on given nights. I think it's already, you know, starting to, you know, unfold as to what we can expect.
So Derek, you do think it's fair to throw Adina more up into that fifth spot? You see Uniota Adina a little bit closer than maybe some other people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we're talking about a four spot, I mean, I'd definitely throw Uniota in there just because they do have two pitchers in Fisher and Pinkerton who can really fire the softball at times, and that lineup can hit if they're hitting against.
It just seems like the Uniota lineup. It just seems like the Uniota lineup alone, almost right, athletically, will beat the bottom half of the league. But again, you never know if you run into a good pitching performance one day.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, Shane, I mean, with Adina, I think you said this last week on the softball preview show, you know, just looking at their stat sheets and just watching them play, you know, if you really look at, we knew Abby Stark could play, but now they've got Megan Peake and Jade Johnson. You know, they're starting to fill up the stat sheet each night. You know, it's encouraging to see that program kind of maybe turn a corner here. You can really start to tell that Greg Storch is really on to something here. You know, they've got a lot of young kids, Courtney Garrison, Lainey Brown, Haley Clarkson, all of those guys come to mind. And if they put an entire game together, maybe against a Uniota, maybe against a Huntington, if they can play good defense, you never know. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I would definitely take Adina. I would kind of do the cutoff there. And then you look at Southeastern Paint Valley and Zane Trace, who maybe will struggle this year just because of youth or the pitching situation.
Yeah, that is interesting, Bruce, because like I said, I think you need to beat Adina, 11-5, and that's kind of what I'm talking about, just their offensive ability. But then I think where Uniota becomes dangerous is with two capable pitchers. If one of them happened to be on against the top half of the league offensively, I think Uniota could really be a scary team for some of those top teams that play here in the second half. Sure.
All right. We'll see how that plays out then. Let's head out to our three up, three down, Shane.
Yeah, brought to everybody by Crown Hill Golf Club. As always, I encourage you every week to give them a call, 740-986-4653. A lot of great outings coming up, a lot of different packages membership-wise. If you're from out of town, they'll do some smaller packages for you. Again, that number, 740-986-4653. Let them know that SVC Sports Talk sent you. And as always, guys, our three up, three down. We'll touch on both baseball and softball. I'll let Derek go first, and I'll follow up.
What word describes what we have seen in baseball and softball to this point?
For me, it's cold. every game I go to, I need hand warmers to this point. You know, I'm waiting on spring. I guess you can call it sprinter. You know, it's mixed between spring and winter. You know, you'll see. Honestly, there was snow on the ground. I believe it was last Monday. I woke up, snow's on the ground. I cover a baseball game that night. I mean, that's Ohio weather for you. And I think it's affected, you know, the play to some point. I mean, you'll see you know, even you know, the toughest of kids, you know, huddle around a warmer or a, you know, a space heater in the dugout before going back out to pitch. So, you know, I mean, for me, it's been cold in a weather sense, but it's also been obviously refreshing because I get to, you know, actually learn a little bit of new names from basketball season, kind of making that transition. So, you know, some of the kids I had never covered before, I get to talk to, I get to see, you know, what they're about, and that's cool for me.
Guys, I'm going to go with typical. I've been doing this a long time, and it's just kind of typical. You obviously always deal with Ohio weather early in the year in a spring sport, and then when it comes to the actual on-field situations, it's never easy playing in the SBC and baseball. Softball gives you the same type of situation where, again, elite pitching usually will rise to the top and take over the league. And so what I'm seeing on both sides is just kind of typical in terms of what I've seen throughout my career.
How do you describe the overall pitching to this point in 2018?
I mean, so far, if we're talking about it in the conference sense, I would say as expected. I mean, you know, you look at a Harley Patterson who's 2-0 with a sub-1 ERA. You look at Cruz McFadden throwing for Paint Valley. Even Ethan Kunkel, Jared Garrison at Adena. Chad Ice is doing big things there. Zane Trace, he just picked up his second win, or his first win over Adena. Shane Volgamore pitched really well against Southeast the other night. Rex Hartman has done well. He held Huntington's offense, who had scored uber amount of runs in their first couple three games to one run, you know, in their first that complete game effort there this past Thursday, I believe. So, you know, for me, it's been pretty good. It's been quick, so I can get back to the office real quick, and that's what we continue to keep hoping for.
Well, I don't think there's any question when you think of Adena with the way they've done it with Gunkel, and Root there at Huntington had a nice outing, and for Paint Valley, Mettler wins the SBC opener at Piketon, and McFadden was outstanding on Friday. You mentioned Piketon with Volgamore and his ability. I would throw Pack in there. Southeastern, you said Hartman. I agree. I watched Patterson up close and personal the other night, and he's as advertised. I mean, he's legit. And then with Westfall, they've had some really good performances. They've had some tough luck pitching, you know, there at Westfall. I know Nunnemaker's had some nice outings early in the year. And then you mentioned Eisen and Lambert. So you go down through, and then over on the softball side, you see what the splash that Kello's made there at Huntington. And it is. It's interesting. Alexander there at Piketon. But it's really interesting to see how Pinkerton and Fisher will start to kind of give the 1-2 punch. And then with Robinson there at Westfall with that offense, man, there's just it's going to be really interesting. But considering the weather, Bruce, I think the pitching to this point has been nothing short of outstanding.
A fan email commented on there being too many errors in the first few weeks for a league that plays as good of softball and baseball as the SVC. One, do you agree? If so, why do you feel this is the case?
Well, I'll say this. I've seen a couple of errors in the past couple of weeks here now, but I still feel like the product is overall very good. I think we've got a lot of good athletes in our league. We've got, as we mentioned, a lot of good pitching, and we've got a lot of good hitting when you really look at the leaderboards and average hits, RBIs, whatever it may be. I don't really agree with maybe being too many errors. I mean, here's the thing: in high school baseball, with snow on the ground, by the way, when it's a wet, slick conditions, there's going to be errors. I mean, there's not going to be a game usually where there's no errors. I mean, that's in any point in the season, all the way up to the district final. So I don't believe I may have covered a handful, and I'm talking about one handful of games where there was no errors. So, I mean, in high school baseball, high school softball, that's just going to happen. It's part of the game. And, you know, you got to either roll with the dice or take advantage of the other team's miscues.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree or not. If the games that you happen to be watching have some errors, not to give the excuse, I just wonder if it's not weather playing a role there as well. I know the majority of the games we've been involved in have been pretty well played. Probably the sloppiest game I watched was the one I scouted. But again, kids were playing in 29-degree wind chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's probably a little bit tougher to play defense at night. I know Yeah, I know. As I mentioned in the opening there, Uten and Beeler were pitching, and both teams went a little bit into their bullpens there. Some errors cost them some pitch count and so forth. But I thought the kids played awfully hard that night. There were some times where they had some trouble getting some grips and so forth. But, no, I haven't. Maybe it's just the games I've been in. I haven't noticed a huge issue in miscues defensively, but it's something that we'll continue to check some box scores and see. But you do wonder if weather's played a little bit of a role, if that's the case early in the year here.
And that is our three up, three down, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. With the weather getting better, you'll want to give them a call and set some things up. Again, tell them that SVC Sports Talk sent you. You'll find them located at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport. If you want to comment on anything you've heard here on the show, or you want to introduce a fan topic, or you want to comment on one of the things that we've talked about, we would love to hear from you, and you can communicate with the gentleman easily. You can do so right now at, first for Derek, at drwebb@chillicothegazette.com, and on his Twitter, he has the verified account, at DW1509, so you can get a hold of him that way. For Shane, probably email is the best. He watches that quite frequently. The email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. He also maintains the two profiles on Facebook, and you can also reach him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. And while we're thinking about it, we ask that you continue to think about subscribing to our podcast. If you've not already done so, you can do through iTunes, or you can also do it through Stitcher, and you can also do it on the DBK Media Services website. Just enter your email address. You'll get an email verification. You click on that, and you're all set up. And every time we publish a new episode, you will get an email describing it with the full post. You can just click on that and listen that way. We move now to our post-game comments, again brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Printing, screen printing, and they are located at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. Again, 740-774-3306. They are doing some amazing things. You can find examples of that on the both the C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Printing Facebook pages, and lots of videos of things they can do, and lots of suggestions about what they can do and so forth. But let's go into our post-game comments now. Just a quick look at track here as it tries to get wound up just like everything else. Your thoughts on, again, track for the past week, Derek?
Well, for the past week, you look obviously the R.L. Davidson Invitational there where Zane Trace's girls was the highest area finisher. They finished second there as a team. And then with 75.5 team point shade. I don't really know how they get that half in track, but it makes it fun for me to be able to report. They got beat out by Wheelersburg, Uniota. The boys on their side scored 69 team points, and Hillsborough, who's a very good program, won that invite. They were 1-2 Hillsborough Uniota. So obviously, when you look at this week, you look at the Andy Haynes Invitational out of Bainbridge. So one of the premier kind of track events of the year in the area. So. I would say look out for the same two teams, Zane Trace's girls and Uniota's boys. They've definitely looked good so far.
Yeah, I think obviously some of our biggest stars in our league right now come in some of the throwing events. I know Mohan there at Uniota, and then Burton over at Paint Valley, and they kind of are probably some of the individuals that shine the most. But I think the depth is something that jumps out at me. When I look down here at the team standings, Derek, it's fascinating. In a meet like this that has some bigger schools and a lot of talent, a lot of athletes, between the second and fifth place spot, okay, Uniota second, Zane Trace fourth, Paint Valley fifth, you're only talking 60 to 69 point separation. So you just wonder if you're not in for another really, really special SVC meet later in the year. It's fascinating to me, obviously. you know, personally, what Paint Valley's been able to do with Coach Burke there. Obviously, Zane Trace and Uniota can just really athlete you to death across the board. But that's intriguing. And then on the girls' side, the Zane Trace Uniota is what you usually look to, but in this case, it seems like Zane Trace has really got a group of athletes here that are going to really spread out across the events and really be tough to beat. So sometimes it's hard to tell in these bigger meets because, you know, maybe people don't always put all of their different kids in different events or whatnot. But early in the year, the Mohan and Burton on the throwing events seem to jump out at me as some individuals to watch deep into the postseason. But the depth of Uniota and Zane Trace and what they can do in some of their relays is pretty impressive as well.
All right. We'll continue to monitor track and like any input that you can provide for us on that. Looking ahead, guys, what should fans be looking for this week? Derek?
Well, I mean, this week it's for me. I'm really excited to go to the Huntington Chillicothe softball game. I got to see Kylie Kello against Uniota for the first time this past week, as I said, and I mean, she just really, really impressed me. And really, Shane, when you look at that lineup up and down, I mean, the Huntington's pretty tough. I think they can really make a run if they continue to progress in a tournament and even maybe even a run for a league title if they can kind of, you know, nip Westfall the next time around. In a baseball sense, and well, sticking in a softball sense, Piketon does go to Westfall Wednesday, so they're both 3-0 right now. They'll be 4-0 if they continue to win, but if they both win tomorrow, or well, Monday night. And then in the baseball sense, I'm really excited to see Paint Valley at Edina. Shane, who are you pitching that night? Because, you know, that dictates if I'm going to go cover or not, right?
You're talking three games ahead. You're way ahead of me. If you know who I'm pitching yet, let me know.
You see that, Bruce?
We're still trying to find out in our coaches meeting who we're throwing tomorrow night.
That's well. You've got Paint Valley to Dina, though. It should be a matchup, no matter. You're a good matchup, no matter who either team's throwing. And then, of course, on Friday, you got a Uniota at Zane Trace there. That's obviously a marquee matchup. If both of them say drop a couple this week. Uniota probably throws Harley Patterson that night. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying that's probably expected. Then Zane Trace will probably throw Eisen as expected. Those are your probable starters for Friday. I'd say they both go with those guys, but anything can change. Either way, that's a good matchup, and it's got conference title implications this early in the season, so be a good one.
You know, I think, Bruce, obviously, if you follow a team, you're going to be watching them play each and every night, baseball, softball, whatever it might be. But I think what I would tell just the overall SVC fan is if we do end up getting this weather and everybody is able to play three or four SVC games, mm-hmm. you're going to push the standings out to five, six, almost to the end of the first round. That's how quick baseball goes when the weather allows it to happen. So just sit back and watch all the matchups. It's fascinating. I mean, it's almost overwhelming as a coach. That's why you don't allow yourself to do it. But as a fan, allow yourself to come back and just look at how, you know, gosh, the Uniota-Huntington game can be played 17-8. Well, then Huntington-Southeastern can be 2-1 in Paint Valley. And Uniota can be 2-1, and then, you know, Piketon Paint Valley can be playing a pitcher's duel into the fifth inning, and then it can open up, and then it's nutty. Westfall's a really good baseball team, and they lose to Edina by one, and then Huntington by two. You're talking, I mean, guys, when you talk about a one or two run baseball game, you might be talking about one pitch, mm-hmm. someone located a pitch poorly, someone hit it in the gap, one error. One base running mistake, or you could be talking the difference between being 3-0 or 0-3 in the SVC. I mean, it's that detailed. So, as a fan, I would say allow yourself to really follow the scoreboard and then follow the standings at the end of the week as we come up on the end of the first round here, real soon.
All right, we'll be keeping our fingers crossed and our prayers in place to maybe get some of this good weather so we can get these games in, Shane.
Well, sounds good. And hey, I want to give a shout out. I know we have 2-3 messages this week. Someone was saying how that's an hour to work, and it makes it feel like 15 minutes on the way to work on a Tuesday morning. I had someone else say that's my Tuesday morning routine at work. I kind of have a job where I can have my headphones in while I'm working outside there. And, you know, those kind of messages are really cool. I know Derek appreciates them as well. Mm-hmm. Just kind of lets people know. Or lets us know that people are out there really watching it. We take a lot of pride in covering the spring sport just as thorough as we would the fall or winter. So thank you for those. Keep giving those shout outs. I certainly appreciate those. So guys, we'll get out of here this week. And until next time, for Triple Crown Family and Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you, keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.